Hi, great to have your company. You're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. I'm Simon Smart.
And I'm Justine Toe.
Well, it's been raining buckets in Sydney lately, so maybe it's entirely appropriate that the film Noah is now out in cinemas. Now, this is a blockbuster movie version of the story of the Great Flood, the building of the ark, the saving of the animals in pairs, as well as Noah and his family. But this Hollywood version of the story is nothing like the one you probably came across when you were younger. There's giant rock monster type characters. The ark is less a boat and more a floating brick. Then you've got Russell Crowe, it's a bit surprising, playing Noah, and Ray Winston, who's the bad guy, who wants to take the ark for himself. And he's definitely an addition to the original biblical story.
Going to destroy the world.
My father said that one day, if man continued in his ways, the Creator would annihilate this world.
Can it not be averted?
He speaks to you. You must trust that he speaks in a way that you can understand.
I saw water. Death by water. And I saw new life.
A great flood is coming. We build a vessel to survive the storm. We build an ark.
Mother! What is it? Oh, them!
What do you want?
You don't know your king.
There isn't anything for you here.
I have men at my back, and you stand alone and defy me.
I'm not alone.
Justin, you saw the film recently. What's the story with these rock monsters in the story of Noah?
Yeah, they are a very surprising addition. I just want to start by saying that I quite enjoyed the film, I have to say. I think maybe it's a little bit uneven and it's not going to please everyone, but it's a fun ride. These rock monsters, I guess in the Bible you see that there are these characters called the Nephilim, some sort of angelic beings who are on Earth doing who knows what, right? And that's what these rock monsters are. They're, I guess, angels who've become encrusted with the Earth, basically. So they look like the Ents of Lord of the Rings, if you remember them, that when the trees basically come alive and they smash the orcs. And they're used in the film to build the Ark, which enables Noah to build it in something like 6 years rather than, you know, hundreds of years. And they're also used to ward off the horde of people who have seen that Noah's building this giant boat and they want in on it because they know that something bad is going to go down.
Is it true? I mean, there's some poetic license being used there, but is it true at some level to the original?
Well, you mean the story of Noah?
Yes.
Well, yeah. I mean, Darren Aronofsky, the director, is working off three chapters of Genesis, basically. And so he's using those three chapters to film, to make a movie that's 2 hours long, let's say. So there's a lot of, you know, room for
fill some things out.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. So I'm like, great, go for it. But I think that even if it's not faithful in that sense to the source, there's a lot of themes that are going on that, you know, someone who is a person of faith can say, yeah, there's a lot of good stuff in there which totally accords with the substance of what the Bible's getting at. So I think that is worth mentioning, even though there are these complete additions, including the character of Ray Winston. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. You know, if this guy, Noah, was building a boat and there were rumblings of discontent and people could tell that something bad was going to go down, they aren't just going to stay there and just go, oh, you're building a boat, great, and you'll float away and leave us. You know, these people want to take over the ark. So it does make sense that something like that would have happened.
Why are more biblical epics getting made in recent times?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I think it's because perhaps Hollywood has woken up and said, hey, there's a huge Christian constituent out there and it's a global faith, and so perhaps there's a lot of people around the world who are interested in these sorts of films. And so it could be just a cynical marketing ploy in that sense to get more bums on seats. But I think also that, you know, biblical epics, when we think about them, you know, I guess we might think of the Cecil B. DeMille type, Ten Commandments, etc. They're on a scale which we haven't really, well, is possible to generate now at minimal cost, I suppose, because of the special effects that we have. So it's possible to do all these incredible stories and render them in such thrilling detail because of the technology that we have. So it's a, I think it's a combination perhaps of those two. But also, you know, the stories that you encounter in the Bible, they're really human stories. They speak to our human experience, and there's a lot of good stuff to be mined from them. So it's a good way to raise these ultimate questions, I suppose, through an exciting narrative.
Justin, I've heard the director, Darren Aronofsky, describe the character of Noah as the first eco-warrior, and that there's many nods to environmental concerns in the film. Where do you see that working in the story?
Well, it's interesting. You see that there's a there's an opposition, I suppose, between the Ray Winston character, Tubal Cain, and Noah. And I guess they also embody two different approaches to the world. So Tubal Cain is constantly going on about how he wants to make the world in his image, and he wants to dominate it, and you know, and to force his will upon it. And whereas Noah has this whole sensibility of he wants to be a good steward and to serve God. So you see that in the way that they treat the environment. Noah, early on in the film, tells his son Ham, "We only take what we need. You know, we don't exploit the resources," which is a nod to, you know, contemporary concerns around sustainability, which is very different to Tubal Cain's attitude. And so, yeah, you see that kind of, I guess, that discussion around what it means to care for the earth. You know, do you just exploit it or do you care for it? That's really, I guess, something of what Darren Aronofsky is talking about in the film. And it takes on an additional significance as well, because obviously climate change and the way that we've mistreated the environment is a big issue today. So it's one of those things where this film, you know, given our contemporary concerns about the environment, of course it was going to talk about a way to respond and to live in the world that we have without bending it entirely to our will and exploiting it.
I'm interested in your generosity towards the filmmakers in terms of their adapting the story to the degree that they do. And I get that you have to kind of fill out some details and that's necessary for this sort of thing. But isn't it important that the key aspects of the story remain intact in the sense that it's conveying something what the original was trying to convey?
Well, I think it does do that. That's the thing. I think that a very strong theme alongside the environmental theme. I will agree that there is a fine balance between them, and maybe sometimes it tips in favour of the environmental stuff. But a really strong theme that runs alongside that is this idea that humans are wicked. You know what I mean? And that this is a very strong claim to make in a world where we like to think, oh, everyone's okay, just better education and better parenting will produce a better kind of person. The world that this film is set in is pretty brutal. You know, we don't have human rights. You don't have this necessarily, it's a world where might is right and where people basically dominate others, and that's just how the world works. And so Noah looks around, you know, the world that he's in, and cities are not places of culture and human flourishing. They're places of violence where violent people just gather together. There's a really strong vision that he has where he looks down at the soil that he's standing on and he lifts his feet and they're just, the soil is drenched in blood, which is interesting. It's another image from, I guess, the earlier murder that happens between Cain and Abel in the Bible story, if you know that story, where God says, "The blood of your brother is crying out to me from the ground." And so the idea here is that four stories in from the Genesis narrative of the creation of the world, we've gone from creation being wonderful to the world is soaked in the blood of innocent people.
The other aspect of this that might also be quite unpopular these days is clearly that there's a judgment for that sort of human depravity.
Yeah, absolutely. Throughout the film, there's a number of points where you see this really poetic rendering of the creation narrative. You see a snake slithering through the grass. You see a fruit getting plucked from the tree, representing, I guess, Adam and Eve's decision to follow their own way rather than to follow God. You also then see a hand that's raised in anger. That's, I guess, representative of Cain killing his brother. So the film does at various points, you know, return to this idea that were pretty bad, you know, which is, and this guy, Darren Aronofsky, he's by no means an orthodox believer. He's he would describe himself as spiritual but not religious. But even he sees that judgment is coming. And he tells a story in this interview that I read where when he first encountered the Noah story, it filled him with terror because it was like, what if I was one of the wicked people? What if I didn't get on the ark, let's say? And then he says in the interview, he realizes that there's wickedness in all of us and that something needs to happen in order to address that. And so the character of Noah, in some ways, is a stand-in for God in this film, who looks around at the terrible depravity around him and says judgment is coming. And there's a deadline that everyone will have to face.
It is it's a frightening judgment in that story. It's no wonder the young Aronofsky was terrified by that. There's also a redemptive aspect to this story, big time, and it's a foreshadowing, really, of a future major redemptive act in the biblical story. Now, without giving away the film, is that included in the story?
It is, but this is one of the criticisms I would make of the film, that so much is emphasized of the God of judgment, that the God of mercy seems to get edged out of the picture just a little bit. And I think that's because, I mean, it's a very human-centered story, which is fine. It's called Noah, for crying out loud, so we know what to expect. But Noah, I guess, recalls the idea of the God that's just so angry, and that's it. We do see in the film this idea that perhaps God wants to reboot creation, but minus humans. And that's the sort of assumption that Noah is operating with. So he's also saying that while God has preserved his life and the life of his family, he doesn't believe that God intends for them to actually repopulate the world.
Oh, so that is a big departure.
That is a very big departure, yeah. So I look at this and say, okay, so this tells me that someone who's made this film, maybe they are thinking a lot about the God of judgment, which I guess is a very popular image, and not a lot of the God of mercy. Noah does go on a journey, which enables him to readjust his thinking on that point. But just, I mean, as a person of faith watching it, I was there going, I think that the idea of the angry God is still really foremost in people's minds, which I think it's important to have that acknowledgement there. But it's not the full story.
Not the dominant story either, or picture of God, is it? Now, a review in the Hollywood Reporter seemed to make a lot out of the fact that the word God isn't used once in the film. Does the film leave out God because of that?
No, okay, sure. There's no reference to the word God, but he's referred to as the creator, which actually reinforces this idea over and over again that the world is his creation and that humans have broken the world, this is a quote from the film, by killing each other and also by exploiting the creation as well. So he may not be there in the terms of God, 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 but Russell Crowe in the trailer says that he's not alone, and he's obviously talking about that, you know, God's going to help him and help him defeat the Ray Winston character who's trying to take the Ark for himself. But what's also interesting is that even the bad characters, so-called, will even kind of agonize that they don't hear God speak or they don't hear the Creator speak. So it's a very different world to what we're operating in today. You know, back in that time that is depicted in the movie, everyone believes in the Creator. It's just non-negotiable. It's just he's there, but he just doesn't talk to people or they can't hear what he has to say. For a contemporary reviewer to say that God is just not in the picture in a big way is just, it's ridiculous, really.
It begins. When they come, they will be desperate and there will be many.
Take the ark!
I see how hard this was for you.
Remember, Noah, he chose you for a reason.
Is this the end of everything?
The beginning. Beginning of everything.
I mean, I love disaster films, I have to say. I think the effects are fantastic. I think I think Russell Crowe makes a great Noah. I might be biased in this.
You're a bit of a fan, aren't you?
Slightly, yes. And the creation narrative that I was speaking about before, I think is really beautifully done in terms of just presenting, I guess, a very familiar story to people, the idea of the creation of the world, in a way that's really rich and visually enticing. So I think it's got something for everyone, and particularly in, I guess, Aronofsky's overall message, which is that we have a second chance. We can do something better than what we have done before, but are we going to take it? And that, I think, applies to the film in total, and it applies to the human experience as well.